This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa mu'ala. My dear respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I'd like to welcome you all to this brief introduction to Ramadan. No doubt Ramadan is a great opportunity. It's a great time. It's a great month. It's great in many aspects and in many avenues. It's not long to go now. We're looking at around maybe 10 days or less, in fact, for it to start. And it's very important for us. I mean, this talk really is a reminder. It's a very short reminder about how we can hopefully get the most out of Ramadan. So it's about getting ready for Ramadan and achieving the best, inshallah ta'ala. And in essence, I'm giving you a summary of the work that I have done over the past years. It started a good few years ago when we started to send short audio reminders. They're like 1 minute reminders, then they developed into like small posts and then short videos. And it basically has evolved into a small booklet or book titled 30 Steps Towards a Refreshing Ramadan. And today I've just chosen a few of those messages from that book to enable us just to get the flavor of how we should prepare for Ramadan. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that remind them, for surely the reminder will be of benefit to the believers. So when we remind ourselves, you know, because we tend to forget. The insan is called insan because he is كَثْرَةُ النِّسْيَانِ, he forgets a lot. So this is a great opportunity for us to remind one another and say, oh yeah, that's a good point. Let me do this. Let me do that. So inshallah, a lot of what I'm going to say today is probably something you've already heard before, but it is important to get that reminder. So inshallah, by doing that, we can put the planning into process, because as we will learn, the more you put in to the whole procedure, the more inshallah you will get out. I'm going to talk for about half an hour or so, 35 minutes, and then allow anybody who has any questions or anything that they would like to talk, an opportunity to do that, inshallah. So Ramadan is a great opportunity for those who want to utilize. Year in, year out, Ramadan comes, and the people are of different categories. There's a whole spectrum of the people's attitudes, but essentially, there are people who you know, they prepare, they plan, they enter into Ramadan with enthusiasm, they maintain that enthusiasm throughout the month, and so therefore they harness the greatness that can come from this month. And the other category are people who just go through the motions of Ramadan, and by going through the motions, very likely that they will not get the most that they can out of Ramadan. So if you have the right attitude to Ramadan, then you will get the most out of it. And like anything, it's all about importance of having the right intention, achieving that sincerity that comes with intention. Those are two different things that sometimes, you know, in essence, they should be one, but usually they're two different things. A lot of our lives are spent, and I would say wasted, by not having an intention for the things that we do. You know, the eating, the drinking, the sleeping, the day-to-day lives, the even going to the bathroom. May Allah guard you and preserve you. All these kind of acts, if there was, a lot of the time we don't have an intention. So the intention is not even there, let alone thinking about the sincerity or whatever. So there is a training, and there has to be that training that we have with trying to have intention for the acts that we do. And Ramadan teaches us that, you know, it's about starting day. A new idea and method that I just came up with, you know, a few days ago was that in the morning when you start your day, obviously you start your day, you make the dua of waking up, Alhamdulillah, الذي أحيانا بعدما أماتنا وإليه النشور, then it becomes important to maybe have that intention. So make, not only have that intention, but you can announce within having, announcing that, how do you want to start the day? And I said to my brothers and sisters that a lot of the imams, they recommended when you start a compilation, you start a book, begin it with the hadith of, which is narrated by Imam, by Umar radiallahu anhu, innama al-a'malu bin-niyat, actions are but by intentions, and every person shall have that which he or she intended. Whoever's migration is to Allah, and his messenger, then his migration is to Allah and his messenger. And whoever's migration is for the dunya that he wants to seek, or for a woman that he wishes to marry, then his intention shall, his migration shall be that for which he has migrated to. So end of the day, what I'm suggesting is, as you start the day, and obviously that's just before Fajr, you've got up, you've done your suhoor, then also make the make that recitation, read that hadith. You know, try and incorporate it into your daily program to read that hadith. Because remember, these imams were recommending for people who were going to compile books and things. Your daily work and activity is your book. It's your record. It's your daily record. So start your book of actions for the day by reading this hadith. Read it out loud. You know, don't shout it out, but read it out in a nice voice, and then announce to yourself that, okay, I'm thinking intention. How do I have an intention? And then how do I make that intention sincere to Allah? And that's a very important concept, because when we if we want to talk about intention, we could talk ages and ages about intention. And in fact, if you manage to get a hold of my book, which I translated, Bustan Al-Arifin, which is the Bustan of Imam Al-Nawawi, there's a few chapters on intention, the definition of intention, definition of sincerity, ikhlas, the definition of being true and honest to oneself, and so on. So there's a whole, you know, full of, you know, aspects of people giving you what intention is and sincerity. So I'm not going to dwell too much on that. But the point being, the lesson, the advice, have an intention. Ramadan is 10 days to go, but start doing it now. Start thinking about intentions. What am I going to have and what my intention is for today, and so on. Secondly, you know, like anything in life, have a plan. If you have a plan, you're going to more likely succeed. SubhanAllah, I started this year by devising, reviving, I suppose. I had the checklist before, but I revived the checklist. And it's a very simple checklist. I don't have it to hand to show you, but it's a checklist which is basically just, you know, simple tasks that I want to do on a daily basis. On there, I would have, you know, read one juz of Quran. On there, I would have, you know, say La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu al-mulku walhamdu wa ala kulli shay'in qadir 100 times. On there, it would say pray Salatul Duha. On there, it would say, you know, da'wah activities. On there, it would say the sunnah prayers. On there, you know, lots of things on there. I'm not going to go through the whole list. That would take a lot of time. Also include things that are recreational, things that are entertainment, things that are part of, you know, work, planning, etc. So by having that checklist on a daily basis, just having it in front of me helps me to, you know, there is a thing about checking, you know, this thing about ticking the boxes. It gives you that boost, because you're saying, oh yeah, I've achieved this, I've done that. And so have a plan for Ramadan. Try and get a checklist. SubhanAllah, if you go online now, you will find there are people who already done this. You know, they prepared a checklist for Ramadan specifically, but you will find it for throughout the year. You can download one of these, get it printed off, and make use of it. You know, every day you're going to be doing this, 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 and just have that checklist. SubhanAllah, you'll achieve so much by having that checklist. So I advise you to get a plan going in terms of that checklist, but also have a personalized plan or goal. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but use Ramadan to try and achieve something big as well in your life. Try to achieve something which maybe you're not usually used to achieving. You know, if you read, if you manage to read and finish the Quran once every, you know, once a Ramadan, you know, you're reading one juz a day, try and maybe up it to two times. If you're somebody who, you know, doesn't usually pray duha, try and make sure that you are praying duha. If you are somebody who is always taking the lighter eight rak'ah tarawih, and I could go on about talking about the eight rak'ah, why don't you make it 10? Make it 12. You know, don't just accept 8. You know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, yes, then the hadith of Aisha, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't used to pray more than 8 in terms of Qiyam. But come on, are you going to seriously tell me that the 8 that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prayed is in any way comparable to the 8 that you are praying, which a lot of the time, in a lot of these masajid, they are, you know, they are on turbo. You know, it's a turbo Taraweeh. And this year, I'm told Taraweeh are going to be on super turbo because people have to pray. And we want you out of there because of the whole COVID thing. The Prophet's 8 rak'ah, yeah, as narrated in one hadith of, I think there's a couple of narrations. One is by Hudhaifa and one is by Abdullah and Mas'ud. When they happened to join the Prophet ﷺ in Qiyam al-Layl, you know, they passed by or they saw him praying the night and said, okay, let's join him in prayer. He was literally, in one hadith, he recited Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran and a lot of Surah An-Nisa, which is around, you know, 4.5, maybe 5 juzu in one rak'ah, you know, in one rak'ah. Today, you know, guys, they, you know, if you read half a juzu in the Taraweeh, there'll be, you know, people complaining and, you know, the complaint box. But anyway, the point being is, I digress, sorry. Go back, have a plan to try and do more, and inshallah, you can be in sync with yourself in doing that. Ramadan is a time to upgrade yourself. Wherever you are now, you need to be better. Wherever you are, you know, you could be Superman, you know, you have to be Superman too, you know, and so on. You know, don't accept to be where you are. You know, I'm just here, I don't know, you know. Try to be higher. Change starts here. Ramadan, I want to come out of Ramadan a new, better alternative. Today, the psychologists tell us that one way to improve yourself is to actually imagine yourself. You know, it's almost like a kind of, you know, say meditation, but it's a form of, you know, perspective. You know, go online and think about yourself offline, meaning, you know, disconnect yourself from everything outside and think about you as a better. How does the better version of you look like? You know, what does it look like? And I'm not talking about in terms of plastic surgery. You know, we could all do with a smaller nose, some people might say. But no, I'm talking about the better you in terms of how you, in terms of your iman, in terms of your actions, in terms of your knowledge, in terms of your education, in terms of your, even your physical, you know, yeah, I could do with losing a few pounds here. I could have a little bit more stamina. You could be, You could be as light as a feather, but you have no stamina. You know, you're outside and you're panting and you're out of breath. How does a better version look of you? And use that Ramadan with, as I mentioned before, with the whole issue of planning, so that inshallah you can upgrade yourself. Ramadan is a great time to look at yourself, look at the actions, look at your past, look at your present. What have I done? Where am I? What are my shortcomings? How do I improve myself? And that is the whole process of tawbah, the whole process of repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore saying, I want to review, you know, review myself. And that's what scanning the hardware is about. You know, you're going to look, if you have these viruses and all, they always try to scan your machine and look at all those. Maybe you have some viruses in there, some issues, some corrupted files, some extra files. You need to scan your hardware in Ramadan as well. And that's the part of repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan is the month of the Quran. Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. It's a very special time to connect with the Quran. And here, I'm quite happy with this play on books I came up with. Open your Facebook account. Don't just be somebody who connects. You know, today, subhanAllah, one of the biggest fitna. We'll talk a little bit about phishing scams in a moment. But statistics that I compiled a while back actually were saying to us, that Apple were telling us, that you know the average iPhone user, he or she opens their iPhone about 40 times a day. And I'm pretty sure if they give us the current statistics, it's probably much higher than this. So 40 people, you know, every time people are opening, because they can see every time you put your passcode in or you put your fingerprint or whatever, they log that. So the average person is logging in regularly to their phone. And the most often used app is, no surprises here, no prizes as well for guessing, that it is Facebook. You know, people are opening their telephone, they're going to Facebook, checking, oh yeah, what is the news? Who has liked my recent post? Who has shared it? Who has giving me this, that, and so it's all there. So this Ramadan, and indeed try to make Ramadan a change, you need to be having your Facebook account, your Quran has to be with you, the book that you are going to be reciting, and make that relationship with the Quran. Have essentially try to have two types of recitations. One recitation where you're just reading for ajr, because remember, every letter that you recite of the Quran, you'll get 10 hasanat. And secondly, have a recitation where you have your Arabic, the Quran, and whatever language, you know, if you don't understand Arabic, your second language, or sorry, your primary language that you understand is English, or Urdu, or Hindi, or Russian, or whatever language you, and even Arabic, you know, have something where you can actually, as you are reading slowly and say, oh, what does that mean? Read it in English. Read it in. And even if you're an Arab, you know, a lot of the words in the Quran say, well, what does that mean? What does this mean? And there are some very, you know, quick references. So that way you are reciting the Quran, but also, inshallah, you will have also picked up on some information and some knowledge therein. I say to my brothers and sisters, beware of the phishing scams. Also, you can read a lot of this information in the book. It goes into much detail. I'm just skimming over it here. Ramadan, unfortunately, there are a lot of trolls there who are active in, I mean, trolls usually are people who are menaces on the social media, but these trolls are there to send phishing scams. They are trying to fish you out of your path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to essentially give you things which are time wasters, effort wasters, etc. There's lots of phishing scams out there. In fact, I should have really found this. There's a image somebody has drawn, which would be good to show you actually. Where is somebody, maybe during the question answer, I'll have a look for it and see if I can find it. Basically, it's a picture of a shaytan, or what the people assume the shaytan to be, shaking hands with a television producer or director and saying to him basically that, you know, I'm going away for this month, so I hand over the realms to you. You know, I'll leave people under your, meaning that the shaytan, obviously because he's chained up in Ramadan, is almost like he's handing over the mission to the TV producers or the editors or whatever they call them, so that they basically carry on the work of the shaytan, which essentially what that cartoon is trying to say is that in Ramadan, the TV programs, they are specialized in fishing you away from Ramadan. You have these programs which are, you know, they are very cleverly made in a way which there are 30 episodes, okay? So 30 episodes, one for every night of Ramadan. They come out sometimes during Taraweeh time. So yeah, you're on your way. You want to go to the masjid to pray Taraweeh. Oh, the episode is here. In fact, I remember a story some people told me, and the Arabs will know this. There was almost like a series every Ramadan used to come out called Bab al-Hara, the gate of the neighborhood, which basically is like a Syrian soap. You know, let me know in the chat if you know what I'm talking about. And that was every year they used to have this. It's basically about the old way of living, how people used to live in the Syrians. And it's about, you know, the Syrians fighting against the French and the French and, you know, and the other. So it was all about old ways. But it used to come out at a time, you know, which was around, right? And somebody told me that even in Palestine, the villagers, I wanted, they were saying to the imam, basically, they said, look, this is when the next, you know, this Bab al-Hara comes up at this time. You need to make sure that the Taraweeh and the Witr is finished by this time. Otherwise, we are basically leaving. SubhanAllah. That's what I mean. You know, people get attached to these soaps, to these programs, to the extent that they are willing to sacrifice their Taraweeh and their other things. And obviously, there's different other types of phishing scams as well, which time does not allow us to talk about. Ramadan is the month for spirituality. You have to plug in to charge your battery, to charge your heart, to charge yourself, to allow yourself to keep going for the rest of the year. And obviously, SubhanAllah, we all know this. When your telephone is old, and usually by old here, we mean that it has been overused, it has too much, you know, too much information. It's not, you know, and once you use a telephone so much times, it starts to become corrupted internally. What happens? The battery dies out very quickly. You charge it and it's, oh, by the end, by a couple of hours, the battery's gone. Why? Because the telephone is not clean. It's not filtered properly. So if you want your heart to get the most out of Ramadan, then not only do you have to charge it, but you have to also clean the heart, cleanse it. So whenever you are charging the heart, it's charging and it's taking longer for the battery before it dies. Ramadan is the month of charity, no doubt, as we all know. It's a great opportunity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be the most generous of people, and the most generous he was in Ramadan. So it's a great opportunity for everyone to try to give as much as they can to support. There's so many charitable works out there. Mashallah, the Muslims throughout the world are always charitable throughout the year, and Ramadan more. So I think it was a statistic a few years ago about Muslims in the UK raised something like over £100 million just in the month of Ramadan through the charity. Over £100 million. And this is what's what the official statistics, if you like. You know, there are statistics which are not there. You know, some people send money to their family abroad and so on. So that's not usually registered, but an official sort of charity statistics, over 100 million, mashallah, it's a great thing to do. But part of the advice that I give as well is try to make every day a day of charity. You know, keep that consistency going. Give a little bit every day if you can, rather than just making it into a lump sum. Okay. Ramadan is also the month to connect with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ask yourself, how connected are you to him? How connected are you to his sunnah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because remember, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had the sunnah in how he practiced Ramadan in many ways. And when we're talking about the sunnah here, we're not talking about how many rak'ah he prayed taraweeh, or you know, what amount of Quran he recited, although that is important as well. But we're talking about the essence, you know. And I think one of the essence of the sunnah of Ramadan is not to overeat, is not to be extravagant with the food, is not to complain. I mean, how many people, you know, they come to their iftar, they might complain to their wives or mothers or daughters or sons or husband, whoever's cooking. Let's not be, you know, let's not assign cooking to one gender. And they will complain, oh, why do we have this? Why is this here? Why is the iftar this? Where's my samosa? Where's my, why are the dates? Where is the yogurt? Where is the... That's not the sunnah of the, you know, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, he never used to complain about food. Ma'aban Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ta'aman qat. He never used to complain, and he used to accept to eat a little. You know why today? You know, we are starving during the daytime because we're fasting, but we know that come, you know, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or whatever the iftar time, we know that there's a big feast waiting for us. That's not the sunnah. You know, that goes against the sunnah. To eat your fill, to and so on. So think about those things as well. Obviously, I can't dwell too much about it. Time is running short. Ramadan is a great opportunity for you to not only cleanse yourself, but also to start thinking about yourself. Remember, one of the biggest things that will make people fall into the fire on their faces is their tongues. And so remember that your comments are being watched, monitored. Whatever you say is going to be written and recorded by the angels who are recording your words, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of what you are saying, and you will be questioned about those things. Ramadan is a great opportunity to control and to learn how self-restraint, how to hold back your tongue, how to avoid. Remember in the hadith, the Prophet said, if somebody tries to fight you, then you should say, I am fasting. I am fasting. It's a kind of way to control your anger, to absorb the problems that might come therein. Fasting is a shield, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. So fasting is a shield, and because fasting is a shield, you can make use of this shield by making sure that you utilize fasting the best you can. This fasting as a shield is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fasting helps you to control your anger, to control your desires, to control your lusts, to control, so that you're in control. And when you live the whole spirit of fasting, you have to learn how to maintain this, because it's a training ground. It's not just about, okay, I'm fasting, I'm gonna be, you know, calm, collected, gentle. The moment I break my fast, that's a different story. I'm no longer fasting. That's the wrong attitude. Obviously, Ramadan is the month of prayer as well. We have the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we'll be going back to the masajid this year. Although, you know, Taraweeh is not just to be prayed in the masajid, you know. for some reason or another, you might not be able to go to the masjid. For some reason or other, there might not be enough space in the masjid. Definitely space is going to be an issue this year with the reduced capacity. That doesn't mean you can't pray Taraweeh at home. You know, pray Taraweeh at home, pray together, pray by yourselves. These are, you know, this is a sunnah recommended prayer. And a lot of scholars in the past said, if you know, you don't have the ability to pray in the masjid, praying at home is just as rewardable if obviously done. I mean, the advantage of praying in the masjid allows you to focus more and so on. I'm going to skip over that one because of time and that one as well. Okay, Ramadan is a great opportunity to think about. Remember, talked right at the beginning about having a plan and thinking about what you want to do in life, thinking how you want to achieve the most in Ramadan, but also try to make sure that during Ramadan, and especially, I mean, when we have i'tikaf this year, i'tikaf probably is going to be out of the question, but the i'tikaf or even having the whole aspect of just fasting allows you to have a clearer mind, think about your life, where are you going, where are you heading, and trying to identify a purpose that you have in life. And by doing that, you can inshallah say, okay, I want to, you know, this is where I want to be, this is what I want to achieve, and inshallah I will be going I'm going to try this opportunity to set my, you know, my direction correctly, and hopefully I can achieve a lot in these coming years. So it's a great opportunity in Ramadan to do that. Ramadan, obviously, as you are reflecting, you need to think about who you are pairing with, who are those around you, who are you connecting with, who are those who are influencing you, and it's very important to have the right people around you. Very important to have people who are going to be those who support you in your quest, people who are going to not only support you, but people who are going to assist you in getting the most out of your life, the most out of Ramadan. And how are you going to do that? You need to connect to people who are aware, people who are spiritually inclined, people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people who, when you see them, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who will remind you to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who will when you forget, they will remind, you know, they will remind you as well. They will help you. They will support you. People who are not going to be hypocrites, you know. They will smile in your face even though you are doing something which is haram. That's not a friend. You know, a friend is somebody who will tell you that you are wrong. A friend is somebody who will point out your errors and your mistakes. When you do something wrong, they're going to say to you, look, my brother, my sister, my friend, you know, this is wrong. This is not acceptable. You know, a lot of the friends today, you know, you start gossiping to them about somebody and they just join in. Yeah, this, that. Instead of saying to you, look, no, we shouldn't be talking about this brother, this sister, whatever. So have those kind of people, and subhanAllah, that is one of the, if you like, the luxuries of having in this dunya, that even the righteous people, they used to, you know, feel the necessity of that. As like was said by Umar ibn al-Khattab, you know, he said there's only three things in the dunya which really make the dunya worth staying in, and he said one of them is to struggle in the night, meaning, you know, getting up and praying in the night. The other is to, you know, feel the thirst during the day, meaning, you know, the fasting. And then he said, sitting, the third one, which is from the delights of the dunya, is to sit with people who choose and select the good words like the good fruit is selected. You know, I have a plate of strawberries or blueberries or whatever, and usually these berries they go off very quickly. So, you know, you'll have people who will pick them. They'll say, oh, this is not a very good one. This is not, you know. These people will also look at the words and they will choose the words like they choose the fruit. they will only choose what is best and what is good to say. So look around those people around you, and inshallah, you will get the best out of them. Remember, Ramadan, in achieving a lot, you can realize your dreams, you can achieve your goals, and inshallah, in doing that, you'll come out from Ramadan a much better person, much more fulfilled, a changed person, a better person, and a person who is closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a book that I co-authored with my colleagues in this Zawali, and we released this book last year, but alhamdulillah, it's last year, unfortunately, we had the lockdown, so people's access to it was less, but the book is still available. All that information that I've mentioned and more is in that book, inshallah ta'ala. And remember that Ramadan is an important point, and the change starts here at Ramadan. I hope that was useful, and I hope there's been some great points that you have learned there, inshallah.